God counted you faithful. And in the end, if you'll hear it, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. Wow, this is great. Thank you, Brother James, Brother Jordan. Will you stand? Now just stretch a little bit. Amen. Praise God. Somebody that can sing. Oh, you must fight. Be brave.
Lag behind if you would win, for God and the right does keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind if you would win, for God and the right just keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind if you would win, for God and the right just keep on the firing line.
Hallelujah. Thank you. You may be seated again. Well, it's all been said, I think. Would you believe 1 Timothy again? Chapter 4. But I'm also going over into 2 Timothy. As I stated to begin with, a theme, a title of my is a charge to keep I have. And in this fourth chapter of 1 Timothy, I want to read verses 13 through 16. And Paul said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. There you have it again. To doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And then over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, he says to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now this matter of ordination is an important event in a man of God's life. This is an important time. If God has called a man to the ministry, he should aspire ordination. That means he ought to desire it, to work for it, to move towards that. Church leaders will generally know when a man is ready for ordination. That's one reason why we have a membership committee, because they help men towards this step of ordination. Amen. Don't fear it. The process can be difficult and challenging at times, but it also can be a blessing and a help to you as you study the scriptures and draw nearer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Your ordination will be an event you can lean on later as a confirmation of God's call to the ministry. Praise the Lord. In this fourth chapter, 1 Timothy, these verses I've read, Paul gave Timothy four steps in spiritual growth. The second step is what I'm concerned with. In verse 14, he says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now that word neglect means to don't treat the gift carelessly or lightly. Don't neglect the gift. Now the gift, what is the gift? Neglect not the gift. There are four thoughts here as to what the word gift refers to. It can refer to some natural endowment or ability. It may refer to some office or position or to some virtue that has been conferred by ordination. It may refer to some transmitted influence which made him holy as a minister of religion, or it could refer to the gift of the Holy Ghost. The word used here for gift, it's also used in 2 Timothy 1 and 6. He says, stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. The word gift in that verse, and then here in chapter 4, verse 14, is not the same word that's used in Acts 2:38. Peter had preached that great sermon on the day of Pentecost, and they were pricked in their hearts, said, men, brethren, what must we do to be saved? Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The word for gift there is doreia. It means a gratuity or a present. The Holy Ghost is a gift, a present from God. But in the text in 1 Timothy 4, it's the word charisma, and it means an endowment or an enablement. Neglect not the gift that is within thee. It appears that Timothy had not only received the gift of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but there was an enablement that he had received to help him fulfill his ministry. He whom God calls, he qualifies. Amen. Some believe that that enablement was teaching, his ability to teach or to exhort. The Bible tells us that a bishop, a servant of the Lord, is supposed to be apt to teach. This gift was given unto him by prophecy and the laying on of hands. Now, possibly the thought is when Timothy was ordained, someone had uttered a word of promise, of prophecy, indicating that he would be used by the Holy Ghost and have a special enablement to help him carry out his ministry. When it speaks of the laying on of hands, you remember Paul and Barnabas, when they were sent on their first missionary journey, the church laid hands on them before they departed and went up into Asia Minor. In Leviticus chapter 1, the priest laid his hands on the head of the animal that was brought for sacrifice, the burnt offering, to show that the sins of the people were transferred to that sacrifice. And of course, we know that speaks of Jesus Christ. Our sins were laid upon Him. In Genesis 48:14, the hand was laid on the head of a son to indicate the transmission of the hereditary blessing. In the early church, in Acts 8:19, the laying on of hands signified the imparting of the Holy Ghost upon the believer. The laying on of hands signifies the impartation of gifts of enablement from the Holy Ghost. And we're going to lay hands on these brethren here in just a little bit, and that's what that signifies. Now, about ordination. What is the purpose of ordination? There are at least three reasons why we ordain men of God into the ministry. First of all, it's to encourage them. It is to encourage them. Men of God who are ordained into the ministry are men of distinction. Men of distinction. This is a high calling. And this calling is to be represented well. Men of God are to exercise decorum. That means manners and respectability. Some need to have dignity. We all need to have dignity about us. Amen. Somebody was preaching the other night about a pastor that came to the pulpit in shorts and a tank top, I believe it was. I'm preaching to the choir. But you know, don't ever come to the pulpit in a t-shirt and torn blue jeans and flip-flops. That undoubtedly is the most undignified thing that I've ever seen in a man of God. This is a high calling. It is a respectable calling. Amen. And the men that ordain us into the gospel, they have seen something there that is worthy of consideration and honor. And we're not to disappoint them by doing something ignorant. I'm sorry. I hope this is not offensive to you. But what they've seen in you are marks of distinction, such as potential, ability, talent, and most of all, they've seen the Holy Ghost working in you. And I tell you, we've seen the Holy Ghost working in all of these brethren in their ministry. Isn't that wonderful? Faith has been placed in you and me, because I'm part of you here tonight to be ordained. Confidence has been placed in us. And you are an encouragement to all of us by being here tonight. Everyone. You know, the devil comes down real hard on you at times and makes you feel like you're not worth it. We can look back on this day and it will become a source of encouragement to us. Praise God. So that's why we ordain, is to encourage the men of God. The second reason, we do it to safeguard the ministry. The practice of laying on of hands was a way for the men who had already been approved for leadership to safeguard the ministry by allowing only called and qualified men to enter the ministry. And so this is where we place trust and confidence in the ones who comprise our membership committee. Amen. We trust them to recommend only those men who are full of the Holy Ghost, to recommend only those who uphold the doctrines and the teachings of the church. We trust them to recommend those who preach the Word as it is, without adding to the Word or taking it away from it. We trust them to recommend those who do not wrest the Scriptures to their own destruction. Simon Peter spoke of Paul's writings in his second epistle, and chapter 3, verse 16, is also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other Scriptures, unto their own destruction. That word unlearned means to be unfamiliar or ignorant or lacking knowledge. Now, we're not saying that you need a degree in theology, not at all. But we are saying that men who are called of God need to desire ordination, that they must have a knowledge of the Word of God. Praise God. I'm thankful that we got men that are knowledgeable in the Word of God. And that word unstable, it means vacillating. It means swinging from one opinion to another. They are unstable men. That word rest, it comes from a term that means to reverse or to turn around, to pervert, to change the meaning of, to lead astray. We do not need such men. We don't need those kind of men. So we ordain in order to safeguard the ministry. And then thirdly, the reason we ordain is to recognize and set a man apart as one who is called of God and qualified for the ministry. The event of ordination marks a point of officially recognizing the call of God in a man of God's life. Praise God. A minister's first responsibility must be to preach the Word. To preach the Word. Preach the Word, the Bible says. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Always preach God's Word. Always be ready to carry the message, and understand hardships will come to those who serve God by preaching His Word. I've been through this book of Acts numerous times, and I can tell you that in every chapter of Acts, preaching is either specifically mentioned or alluded to. In Acts 1 and 8, Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." You know that word witness, we've always been taught it means to be a martyr. But it also means to testify. It alludes to preaching the Word of God. Ye shall be witnesses. Ye shall preach the Word of God. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says that Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." Peter did the unthinkable. He stood up. It was customary in that time for a man to sit down when he taught the word. But Peter stood up. I think the Holy Ghost moved on him. He lifted up his voice. That means he talked loud. Some folks don't understand us Pentecostal preachers because we tend to get loud at times. Well, Peter lifted up his voice and he preached a sermon that day, and 3,000 were added to the church. Hallelujah to God. In Acts chapter 3, that lame man was healed there at the beautiful gate. And we go on over into the fourth chapter, and because of that act of healing, Peter and John would John would carry it to the before the Sanhedrin, and the Bible says that Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Jerusalem," and he preached a sermon, and he said, "Neither is there salvation in any other." Hallelujah. In that name of Jesus Christ only, there is salvation. Praise God. In Acts chapter 5, the Bible tells us that by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the church, multitudes both of men and women. And it says, daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. In chapter 6, they said, "We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." In chapter 7, Stephen lifted up his voice and said, "Men and brethren, hearken." He preached a sermon to them before they stoned him to death. In chapter 8, Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. In chapter 9, after Saul was converted on that road to Damascus, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And you can go through that book of Acts, and in every chapter, they preach the word of God. So I tell you, brethren, preach the word. Be instant in season and out. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We preach the word. Hallelujah to His name. Praise God. You know, I looked the Greek term up when he said preach the word. You know what that means? Preach the word. That's exactly what it means. Preach the word. Preach the word. Don't just give a talk. Preach the word. Hallelujah. Take God's word and thoroughly proclaim its message. Don't preach what you feel like. Don't preach what you think about, but preach the word. Don't ever depend on your own strength or your own understanding, but allow the Holy Ghost to speak through you. You're a preacher. You're a man of God. You're not a comedian. You're not an entertainer. You're not a motivational speaker. You're not a counselor. You're not an impressionist, but you're a preacher. Preach the word. Preach the word. Hallelujah. And I'll close with this word, doctrine. I like the emphasis that the Holy Ghost has been placing on that term in this meeting. Now, the short definition for doctrine is simply teaching and instruction. That's all it is. Teaching and instruction. And I could go down a list and give you some of the great doctrines of this Bible. When I first entered the ministry over 45 years ago, I was told to get a book by William Evans. Some of you probably got that book. Great Doctrines of the Bible. Evans, I may have been a Presbyterian. I can't. It was some form of Calvinist. But I tell you, it's a great book. And if we learn the doctrines of the Bible, you talk about enhancing a man's preaching, it'll do it. We need to learn about God. We need to learn about the Trinity. We need to learn about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. We need to learn about the doctrine of His second coming. We need to learn the doctrine of divine healing. That these great truths of the Bible will enhance and enrich and empower our preaching. We've got to learn doctrine. Hallelujah. The teaching, the instruction of the Bible. Again, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So this is why we ordain men into the ministry. And brethren tonight, I want to say thank you for your ministry. I wished I'd have got the number of years of service amongst us. Didn't do that. Maybe we'll do that after the service tonight. But I tell you, you've got a lot of years of service amongst this group here. And they're not amateurs. These are seasoned men. And it gives us great pleasure to be able to ordain them into this work of the Holiness Pentecostal Ministerial Alliance. Having said that, Brother Gans and Brother Ed, will you come? Brother Gans is the co-chairman of our Holiness Pentecostal Ministerial Alliance. Brother Ed is the secretary and treasurer. And so they hold important positions in this. And I've asked them tonight to ordain me first. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. So you brethren, I'm honored.
Amen. Joey Yates is without a doubt the example. Brother Joey Yates leads by example, not by authority, not by strength or by talent or ability. He has all of those things. Brother Joey Yates leads this fellowship by example. And it was the Holy Ghost that singled him out to be the example by his life. By the authority granted to us by the Word of God, we ordain you into the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for this man of God. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Great honor for me to be able to perform this ordination tonight. I dearly love Brother and Sister Gans. Through the years, they've become precious friends to us. And their heart is in the work of God. And having said that, Brother Gans, by the power invested upon me, by the Word of God, and this Holiness Pentecostal Ministerial Alliance, I ordain you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God bless you tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Ed, if you insist. You know, I stated earlier that we're scattered all over the place. But Brother Ed and Sister Bonnie, they are the closest ones to our church. And we love them dearly. And several years ago, we started a fifth Sunday fellowship. We swap about. We go to their church one fifth Sunday, and then they'll come up to ours. Corona has just messed that jump up. But we're going to get back to it, God willing. Y'all, please forgive me. Brother Ed, by the authority vested upon me by the Word of God in this ministerial alliance, I ordain you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And may God bless you and Sister Bonnie and your ministry and labor of love in the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Joel, if you and Sister Amy will come, I want Brother Gans, Brother Ed, stick close by. Of course, a part of that of Grace Fellowship Church there in Raleigh, Brother Joel and Sister Amy. Brother Joel is my go-to man, because when I've got to be away from my church on a Sunday, I call him. And our people love Brother Joel because he's always got a word from God for them. They love him and Sister Amy and the wonderful spirit that they have. So it's our privilege tonight, Brother Joel, Sister Amy, to anoint you into the work and the ministry of God. Hallelujah. And by the authority invested upon me by the Word of God and the Holiness Pentecostal Ministerial Alliance, I anoint you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother James and Sister. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Brother and Sister Heritage, will y'all come to us? Praise God. You know, we didn't know these folks until 6-8 months ago. But first time we saw them, we loved them. Just special. And I've since meeting them the first time, I've talked to pastors and friends that have had them in their pulpits, and they just wonderful evangelists. I don't know why we haven't met before, but I'm glad we have now. And I tell you what, he's not only a preacher and evangelist, but he's an author, and he's a writer, and we appreciate what Brother Heritage is doing along with his wife in the work of the kingdom of God. So my brother tonight, by the power invested upon me by the Word of God and the Holiness Pentecostal Ministerial Alliance, I ordain you into the ministry in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother and Sister Pepper. Hallelujah. Don't you just love them? I tell you what, we just appreciate these folks so much. And thank y'all for allowing us to come and have this service here tonight. We want it to be a special time. You know, they've been faithful. Brother Gans talked about faithfulness. These folks have been faithful. That's right. And I don't know where they started, but I've heard them talk about it. How many people was it? Seven. And when I first met them, the first time I came here to Chelsea, they were in a building, I guess, across town. And the last time I was there, it was standing room only. It was in a, I don't know if it was a rally or Bible or something. But, you know, look what God has done because of faithfulness. You know, what a blessing and example they are. And we love you. So, Brother Pepper, by the power invested upon me, by the Word of God and the Holiness Pentecostal Ministerial Alliance, I ordain thee into the work of God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Praise God. Brother Jason, Sister Allen, etc. They part of this faithful group too. You know, these folks have many talents and abilities. And isn't it wonderful that they have given that to God? God has blessed them with so many abilities. And ever since I've known them, they've been serving God. Y'all were just kids when I first came around. We love Brother Jason and Sister Sarah. It's our distinct honor tonight, Brother Jason, by the power invested upon us by the Word of God and by the Holiness Pentecostal Ministerial Alliance. We ordain you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise. Brother Lucas and Sister Lindsay. They too are a great part of this church and just work in whatever capacity they are called upon to work in. I tell you, it's a blessing, Brother Pepper, amen, to have your daughter and son-in-law as part of this wonderful work here in Chelsea. We love y'all. Brother Lucas has become a dear friend to us also. And it's our distinct honor by the power invested upon us, by the Word of God and the Holiness Pentecostal Ministerial Alliance, to ordain you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Brother Maymo, say about this guy. You know, we've been to so many places together, and literally we have been about around the world doing mission work. Just a lot of things for God, and we've just about become like brothers. And I'm going to be a little transparent. If you're around us, sometimes when we're by ourselves, we just about fight like brothers. He had to pray me through this morning, literally. He came over, I was struggling with something, and he come over and he started preaching to me, and he prayed for me. And it helped. Yeah. I said, "Brother, I receive what you're saying." But I don't know of anybody else, and I've said this behind your back, I don't know if anybody else got a greater heart for the work of the ministry than this man right here. I tell you, he bears the burden, and he's under the load. And I won't go into detail, but there's a load that he's under right now. We need to pray for him. One thing, he can't get to Mexico, and that's about to kill him because he got the border shut. He's supposed to have a camp meeting next week. Have to cancel the camp meeting. I tell you, he's doing what he can, staying in touch with those pastors down there. And with one of them, he left his phone in the room today. He went off to Joplin to see Brother French. Left his phone in the room, and that thing was ringing off. And when he come back, he said, "Oh, Pastor Refugio has been calling me." So they staying in touch. And Brother Mamo, we love you and appreciate you tonight. What an honor it is. By the power invested upon me, by the word of God, and by the holiness Pentecostal ministerial alliance, I ordain you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God bless you, my brother. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you tonight. That's all I've got. And we're going to pray. Yes. Thank you, brother. Want all of these brothers and sisters, if you will, just to march down in front of the altar here. And we want to pray for these folks. God will just continue to enable them, give them physical strength and the mental stamina. I mean, we all need that. And these, we fight in a battle. We fight in a devil that is real. And at times, the mind is the battlefield. And so we need the mind of Christ so that we can stand up and do the work of Jesus Christ. Want the congregation to stand? If you're physically able, just come up and stand behind these. Lay your hands on them. And let's pray that God will just bless and give them a double portion of His anointing and His Holy Spirit and help them wherever they're serving, whatever field it may be. And the Spirit of God will just guide and direct us all until we go into the kingdom of God, either in death or by the rapture. Holy God, what a privilege it is to be together tonight with our brothers and sisters, these men of God, all of these of like precious faith. We thank you tonight for this service. We thank you for the Spirit of God that has been here. We thank you for calling these into the ministry and the work of the kingdom of God. We thank you for the charge that you've given by the Word of God, the Bible, by the example of those, Lord, in the Bible. We thank you tonight that they answered the call, some of these men many years ago, and they stood the test of time. They have been faithful. Oh God, and what a privilege it is to ordain each one into this Holiness Pentecostal Ministerial Alliance. bind us all together with cords of love that cannot be broken. I pray that you'd help us to bear one another's burdens. Help us to love one another unconditionally. Help us to pray one for another. Help us to encourage one another, Lord. Even though we're so many miles apart at times, help us to stay in touch with one another. Oh, God, I pray you breathe on us tonight. Breathe on us tonight. Oh, as we've heard preached today, Lord, we need the breath of God to breathe upon us this evening and refill us with the Holy Ghost tonight. We're living in a dry time. We're living in a dark time, oh God. But we want to be faithful to you during this time that we have left here on this earth. We believe that Jesus is soon coming. And Lord, we want to be part of the bride. We want to go in the rapture when he does come. And I pray you'd undergird us with your strength and power. I ask that you'd bless the remaining services of this wonderful camp meeting. Anoint these men of God tomorrow to preach. And I pray, God, that you would strengthen and encourage every soul. Save some lost sinner, some poor wandering soul, oh God, that has not yet entered into the fold. We pray that you would save and save to the uttermost. Bless those of our alliance who couldn't be here. They wanted to be, but they couldn't. And Lord, I pray that you would bless them tonight. And we'll honor you with our praise and thanksgiving in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Tim.
Glory to our God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Our God. Tremendous reality of the ministry. Fresh and anew. Those times of refreshing that we need from the Spirit of God. There are times when ministers need times of refreshing with ministers. Hallelujah. It's not that we are any different than any other human being on the face of the earth. But when God puts that call, we accept that call, we move into a position that carries a lot of load. Amen. And it's already been mentioned here tonight. Trustworthy. Faithful. Hallelujah. Having been in the ministry probably for at least 30 years, have to put a pencil to it and do a lot of remembering exactly to find out exactly, probably more than 30 years. Been saved for 37. Probably been in the ministry for 35. The ministry began by sweeping the floors, cleaning the toilets, working on a building, doing whatever needed to be done. A servant. Hallelujah. A servant of the Lord. Praise be to God. And then it continues. It just continues. I've said it to the church different times, preached it. Before you're ever a pastor, you're a Christian. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. You're a servant of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's the Lord then that calls and puts men in positions. Hallelujah. It's not a church board. It's God that calls, puts men in positions. The church board has its place. Those first deacons were waiters to tables, servants of the apostles. Praise God. I better quit harping here. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the reality is servants of the Lord. And we're all servants of the Lord. Hallelujah. And everything that was mentioned here tonight is not because we're ministers, It's because we're Christians that have been called to service. And why? The reason I said that is because a lot of people say, oh, well, that passage of Scripture is just for preachers. It's for Christians. It's for believers who want to make a difference for the King. Hallelujah. To flee. To follow. To fight. I had to do all that, Brother Gans, before I ever was called into the ministry. Had I not done all those things, I probably would have never been called into the ministry. Hallelujah. Because you have to have that determination of whatever God wants. And I've told my church, I've told at different times preaching, it wasn't very long after I was saved. I was raised in a Lutheran church, got saved in a little Pentecostal church in Claremore, Oklahoma. Lester Mullis was the pastor. Brother Gans come in a little bit after I did, got saved, and that's why we've known each other all of their children's lives. And, you know, I've known Brother Gans for 30-some years, and we've been in the trenches together year after year after year, and we still are. Hallelujah. I mean, it's just, you know, part of being part of ministry. Praise God. But when I got saved, it wasn't well received in my household at all. I told my mother, I got saved. I was 23 years old. Went into the house. Told her I had something I needed to tell her. And I stood there and I said, Mom, I said, Sunday. I went on a Monday. I said, Sunday, I got saved. I was looking for joy. I was looking for tears. And what I got was the wrath I'd never seen before in my mother. She got so mad at me and was just railing me. And I mean, I'd never seen her in my entire life that mad. And she told me to get out of her house. So I just turned around and I walked out of her house. And it wasn't very long after that, hadn't even been filled with the Holy Ghost yet, but the Lord just spoke to my heart. He said, will you follow me, or will you go back to what you used to be? And I just wept. I felt like Peter, when Peter was asked of the Lord, do you love me? And I thought, Lord, what have I done? You would ask such a question. My response was immediate. I said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, because this is what I've been looking for all my life. I've been looking for you. Though raised in church, knowing all about him, I met him and I chose, and still do, to follow him. Hallelujah. And everybody sooner or later is going to have to face that decision. My son had to face it, raised in church. Every child that's raised in church, they're going to have to face that one day. Are you going to follow Jesus Christ? Or are you just going to go about your merry way? I encourage you tonight, choose Jesus. Choose Jesus Christ and follow him. And allow him to work his wonderful works, as only he can in your life. If you're struggling all the time, you may think I'm cruel, but you just haven't chosen to follow him yet. Because when you choose to follow him, you know what's going to happen? You're going to follow him. That's just how simple and easy it is. I never struggled. I never fought, never had any desire for the last 37 years to turn away from Jesus Christ. He's the greatest man I've ever found. Why would I want to turn from him? Hallelujah. And so realize, young people, I wasn't that old. 23 years old. Anybody in here 23 years old, right at? Yeah, that's John's age. All my life in front of me, anything I wanted to do, anything I could do, Jesus Christ arrested me. I said, Lord, I'll follow you. Wasn't long after that, got filled with the Holy Ghost. Wasn't long after that, got called to preach. Wasn't long after that, I was teaching adult Sunday school. Deacon in the church. Wasn't long after that, went out, preached revivals. Evangelized. Wasn't long after that, took a church. Wasn't long after that, pioneered a church. Wasn't long after that, we bought this building. Actually, it was 18 years. Praise God. Faithfulness. God is full of faithfulness. So I want to be like Him. I want to be like Him. Praise God. Thank you so much, Brother Yates, Brother Gans, Brother Branch, for being the mainstays in our newly formed, there we go, pulled together. That was quite 2 days, wasn't it? That was wonderful 2 days. It really was. 12 men in a conference room and everything just flowing. Going right down to everything that needed to be done. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is so good and He's coming soon. He's coming soon. Looking forward to the ministry in the morning. Brother John Gantz is going to be preaching first thing in the morning, then Brother Jason Pepper will be the second preacher in the morning, and then Brother Noah Hatfield will be preaching for us tomorrow evening. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed right there where you're sitting tonight.